I have a burden tonight. The Lord laid on my heart. Desire your prayers. As we look into the word of the Lord, I mentioned, I believe, after the morning service for the Doug preaching, that repentance is an absolute. Well, as I got to meditating more on this here, what I've got tonight's an absolute too. I hadn't even thought about that till this afternoon. Let's go to John, the 19th chapter, please. Desire your prayers. 19th chapter, we'll start reading about 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was a preparation that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw that it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that he might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. All right, Zechariah the 13th chapter, and the first verse. And in that day there should be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Can you live for God tonight? Is it possible for people to live for God in this corrupt day and time that was preached like this morning and last night? How serious a time that we're living in, how bad it is and how unholy it is and how unrighteous it is. Can we live for God? Is it possible that you and I can live for God? That a man can be picked up or a woman can be picked up out of the depths of sin and degradation, and God would bless them, redeem them, wash them, help them, give them grace? Is that possible? Can it be done? Yes, it can be done. I want to talk about the blood tonight. It's an absolute. It said it in that day in the house of David. And in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Today the blood. Now how important is blood? It make any difference you got any blood or not? Let me just take a big hypodermic needle and pull all your blood out and see what happens. You live very long? I wonder how many people died because of loss of blood, a lot of them. There have been multitudes of people down through the years that got a bad cut or whatever and their blood began to flow out. There was one young man in a meeting many years ago and back in the East somewhere, and Brother H.M. Riggle was holding this meeting and he was there and the Lord was working, conviction was working, and he was trembling and stirred, and they begged him to go to the altar and he said, no, I'll come back and do this tomorrow night. And they kept pleading with him, and he kept saying, no, I've got to go to work. So he walked out the chapel, he went down the deal, and he worked in a railroad yard just down the street there. And he went down there, and he went to work, and they began to dismiss the meeting, and Brother Riggle and him got through, and he walked out, and he walked down. There was quite a commotion in his railroad yard, and he wondered what was going on. So he walked in, and to his horror, he saw this young man. This young man had fallen under a train car and had cut his legs off almost up to his body, and the blood was flowing out, and Brother Riggle took him and cradled him in his arms as the man died from a loss of blood. Is blood important tonight? Does it matter whether you have blood? Yes, it does matter tonight. It matters physically if you've got enough blood or whether you do not. It matters tonight that you be sure that you have enough blood flowing in your body. If people think they don't have enough blood, they begin to get excited. I'm going to tell you tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ is what you and I need to most be most seriously concerned about tonight. He said it in that day. I'm thankful that we're in the day where the blood is. I'm thankful that we're in the day where that you and I can have the blood. It was shed for you and I. Said they pierced his side and out flowed blood and water. Oh, tonight Jesus gave his blood for you and I. He told me in that vision that day, said, I died for you, child. He shed his blood for every one of us individually tonight. He shed that you and I might be saved, might be redeemed, might be washed in every way. But we've got to go through the blood. The blood is an absolute tonight. It's not something if, and, and but it's an absolute that we must have the blood of Jesus Christ to wash our sins away and to work with us all the days of our lives. Praise God. If we get to heaven, what was it? I believe was it Brother Dan or Brother Doug mentioned this morning about old Brother Wilson. And after all those years and all that he had done, and he said it'll be according to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You and I will face that one of these days. You and I must respect it. We must love it. We must appreciate it because Jesus gave his blood. How many of us tonight would give your blood for somebody else? How many would just, well, I'll give my blood for you. There has been companions down through the years that have given their lives for another companion. Husband for wives, wives for husband. But Jesus made a total, complete sacrifice for you and I. Let's go 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and about 18 tonight. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeyed the truth through the Spirit under the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now it said, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things. Tonight, money will not redeem you. It will not help you. All the wealth, all the riches. There was a man back many, many years ago, and he wanted to know, can a rich man get into heaven? Is it possible? Oh, tonight, we were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation, your worthless conversation, empty conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, tonight, saints, you and I have been washed in the precious blood. It's not just any kind of blood. This is precious. I have on the top of my notes here the precious blood. Thank the Lord for the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. Without blemish, without spot. Now then, it was required that those that were given back there, your lambs and your everything, had to be without spot, without blemish, had to be perfect. Jesus did not break this tradition at all. He was perfect. He was without spot, without blemish tonight, and he was perfect. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times. Now then, let's go to Hebrews 9 and 18. Hebrews 9 and 18. Hebrews 9 and 18. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. When Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats, water and scarlet wool, hyssop, sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. Now he said here, and almost all things by the law, all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Tonight there would be no remission without the shedding of blood. It had to be that way. It was under the old. Now let's go to the Old Testament. I want to tie this together somewhat. Let's go to Exodus, the 12th chapter. Exodus, the 12th chapter. And we'll start reading the first verse. Exodus 12 and 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be for the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. She will take it out of the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the side, on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now then, well, let me go on down. We're going to read the rest of it here. I want the 12th and 13th verse of this same chapter. And I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I'll execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now then, I want the 29th and the 30th verse of this same chapter. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Does the blood matter? Got pretty serious that night, did it not? He told his people that I want you to take, I want you to kill the lamb, I want you then to take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. This is an absolute. If the Israelites had not done this, they would have died just like everybody else. This is what caused a death angel to pass over the house. This is what spared their life tonight. This is a thing that was an absolute, and you got to do this. Tonight, we've got to do it. It's nothing that we can play aside or cast off or so forth. It's something that you and I must do. We must have the blood applied to the doorpost of our heart, so to speak. It's got to be tonight. These Egypts, Egypt had frustrated or bothered or disturbed, in a sense, Moses and God. They had done various miracles, the greatest miracles probably that's ever been done in the history of mankind, over and over and over. And when it got down to the bottom, Egypt still was fighting, and Pharaoh was trying to stop it. And so consequently, God got to a spot, and he moved. He said there, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. In other words, Pharaoh, I can do anything I want to do. I'm going to take care of this once and for all. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Oh, tonight, the Egyptians woke up to a lot of death that night, and tonight, folks, the death angel is still moving. The death angel is still moving. The thing of it is, you don't know when he's going to come. You don't know what's going to happen or when it's going to happen. So consequently, the wise thing for you and I to do is have the blood applied. We've got to have it at all times. It's not something where you take it on and put it off. It's got to be there constantly for you and I to be in a safe position, because you do not know. It could be at night. It could be at the day. It could be in a wreck. It could be various ways that you and I are taken out of this world. But the blood is something, like I said, that's an absolute. That absolute blood has power. It has authority. It has glory. And it'll cause a death angel to move back. I was praying one time for my father's family, and they're of another body of people, most of them. Some of them are very good people. I love them. We've got along well down through the years. And I was praying for them many years ago. And I was praying and I said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not their judge. And I thought, Lord, it'd be a hard deal to judge these people. And the Lord spoke to me real plain that day. And he said, it's the blood, child. It's the blood. That's what's going to count at the judgment, folks, is the blood. Our names written by blood in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our souls having been covered and washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to make the difference. Somebody said, well, it's going to take a long time to do the judgment, is it? Well, I don't really know, but I really don't think so. It's the blood, he said. The blood is what counts tonight. And you and I need to have this applied. Are you sure tonight that you're covered with the blood? Do you have power by the blood? Do you have everything you need by the blood? The blood is what is going to work for you. A perfect cure. It's going to do what you need it to do. Are you washed in that blood? All right, let's go to Romans the fifth chapter and the ninth verse. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I'm going to tell you, he turned his wrath loose on Pharaoh that night, didn't he? And on all of Egypt, he turned it loose. The wrath of God. Let me give you another scripture. I don't know if this has been used in this meeting or not, but I believe it's the third chapter of John. And about the last verse, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Tonight, folks, if you and I are not under the blood, washed in the blood, have the blood applied to the doorpost of our heart, we're under the wrath of God. We're in a dangerous position tonight. People think, well, I can do anything. I can commit any sin I want to. I can go any place I want to. Can we? Riding under the wrath of God? Is that serious? Does it make any difference? Yes, it makes a lot of difference tonight. The wrath of God. The wrath of God has been turned out in great measure at times on bodies of people and so forth. And God has done great things and workings and miracles. But the bottom line is, if you and I are under the wrath of God, we're in the most serious place we can be. So, we want to have the blood applied. We've got to have the blood applied. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians, the first chapter, 7th verse. It said here, sixth verse, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Forgiveness, washed, made clean. And he said here, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches. Now, Brother Dan talked about grace this afternoon. This said the riches of his grace. How rich is his grace this afternoon? How much grace do you need? There was a man by the name of William Vanderbilt. William Vanderbilt was a direct son of the Commodore Vanderbilt. Commodore Vanderbilt at the time was one of the richest men in the world. And he passed the bulk of the inheritance to William. William had a son, had a daughter. The daughter was getting up age to get married. Mama decided she wanted her not to marry just anybody, but she had to marry a very fine young man. So Mama went son shopping, so to speak, or son-in-law shopping, and she found somebody. And this was a fine young man, but the family that was over an island or over a kingdom, so to speak, they'd kind of fallen in a little bit of inheritance or whatever on their financial line, and they had started a huge home and was not able to finish it.
Well, the young daughter of William Vanderbilt married this young prince, and William Vanderbilt told her, he handed her a checkbook. Now, this man's got about $600 million, and this is back in the late 1800s. Now, that would appear to be many, probably several billion today. And William Vanderbilt just handed it to his daughter and said, here, fix the house. Now, it took, I don't know how much money it took to build it, but he said, here, Jesus is telling us tonight that he's got the riches of grace for anything you need tonight. Here it is. Here it is, child, spend it. Here it is, draw on it, write on it, work with it. What kind of grace do we need? Listen, the blood and the grace combined, folks, you and I can live for God in any trial, tribulation, or whatever it might be. It may be difficult at times, but there's riches of grace for you and I to pull off of. Praise God. Are we pulling off of that grace? Lord, I need some more grace. I need some more of the riches of grace. Listen, folks, Jesus Christ is the richest person in the whole world. He has all the riches of grace, all the money, all the power, all the glory. Listen, he's got the throne of grace whereby we can approach that throne and go to that throne and get all the riches of grace that we need. Praise God. He's not short of grace. He's not short of riches. He's not short of power tonight for you and I to be able to do what we need to do. Some people say, I can't live for God. Why not? When this is available, she started writing checks. Well, honey, what'd you say? We need $5,000. No problem. Here it is, right here. Here, dear. Here's $5,000. What about 10? What about 15? It didn't bankrupt William Vanderbilt. He told a colleague, he said, well, my dad died. He was worth, I think, $300 million. And he said, I've taken the helm of the business. And he said it took him a lifetime to get to $300 million, and I think it was 6 years. He said, I doubled that to $600 million. So it was worth $600 million at that time. Oh, tonight, Jesus, because of what he done from the foundation of the world, he has the riches of grace, the riches of power for you and I tonight to be able to live for God in anything we need tonight. Praise God. By the blood. Oh, tonight. It's available. Do we not want to live for the Lord tonight? Do we not want to do what needs to be done? Revelation's the 5th chapter, the 9th verse. It said they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now then he said here, he said, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The blood of Jesus Christ broke down the middle wall of partition. The blood of Jesus Christ opened everything up where the Jews and the Gentiles, red, white, black, yellow, whatever color across the world, it opened it up for you and I to be able to cohabitate together and work together, worship together, enjoy life together, do the things that we need to do together in camp meetings, revival meetings, or whatever, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Out of every nation, you know people. I believe Brother Dan's been, Brother Doug's been international, Brother Dan's been international. I've never been over there. I know some of those people, met some from Mexico. It's all because of the blood. Jesus brought this about because of the blood. He's opened it up where you and I can meet them, enjoy the blessings of them, enjoy fellowship with them, and do things with them, praise God. Because of the blood. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ has redeemed us to God
Oh, tonight he's redeemed us back. He's brought us back to the place that he wants us to be by the blood tonight. All right, let's move a little quicker. My, my. Seems like the faster I preach, the faster the clock goes. Let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. 10th chapter, 27 verse, 10 and 27 of Hebrews. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Oh, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall be thought worthy, who had trod underfoot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now he says here, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Without mercy under two or three witnesses. Oh, how much more? Oh, how much sore punishment suppose ye? Shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and it counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace? One thing you and I don't want to do is to make light of the blood. Trample the blood underneath your feet, so to speak. And make light of it. Oh, it don't matter. It don't have no power. Yes, it does. That was Christ's blood. That blood was the Son of God. And because that he was willing to give his life from the foundation of the world, that he was willing to leave heaven and all the glory and to come down here and to be born of a virgin and to be raised up, and then to enter into the ministry at about 30 years of age, and to go on and do all that he done, go through all that he went through, all the agonizing pain and suffering that he suffered right down at the end, and then to give his blood. Listen, folks, tonight, if you and I count that no small thing and a little thing and so forth, I'm going to tell you tonight, God does not look on that favorably tonight. It'll get us into trouble. If you're counting and you're looking at it and you think, well, that can't help me, that can't do me any good, that is despising. That is going to cause you and I trouble, because that is the one thing that can get us into heaven. And when we push that aside, we're doomed for hell. That's a strong saying, but that is the fact tonight. If you and I push it aside, the one thing that can help us, the one person that can bless us, save us, redeem us by his blood, and we count that and push it aside, is no big thing, a little thing, however you want to say it. The bottom line is, we're going to get into trouble at death. People have done that down through the years, and they've got them into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter now, the 6th verse. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is a great scripture. Used to, they had to go into the holiest of holies. I believe it was once a year. It had to be done a certain way, and it had to be done by the blood. That priest had to have everything just right to be able to enter in. But he said here, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. He made one offering that settled the whole thing once and for all because of the glory of this blood that he had. Because of the power of that blood. And having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, the 14th verse is the one I really want. Now, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge or purify your conscience from dead works to serve? Can you live for God tonight? Is it possible to be able to live for the living God? In Revelation it said, kings and priests unto God. Is it possible to be redeemed, to be brought up, to be in a position of reigning power, to be able to do the things that God would have us to do? Is that possible? Yes, it's possible. It said here to purify your conscience from dead works. In other words, cleanse you from all sin, redeem you from the depths of degradation and sin and the mully grubs and all the things that you're involved with and have been, and God brought you out and set you up on a solid rock, set your feet into a place where you can live for God and being a king and a priest with power and authority every day. Praise God. It's possible to serve the living God. You and I can serve him. There's people right here who's done it for years. I've watched you. Some of you have been around since I've been saved, before I was saved. Some of the old timers are gone. But I've watched people live for God all of my saved life, which is over 45 years. 44, I guess. 44 and a half. I come here the first time in 1971. And got saved in the fall of 71. And today I've watched it work down through the years. And it's still working today. It's still working. We saw what it done this morning for the couple that the Lord took and blessed and saved by the blood. By his blood, praise God, by his blood. All right, let's go to Ephesians 2 and 11. Ephesians 2 and 11. We'll be through here in a little bit. Don't want to hold you too late tonight. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who had made both one, had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity therein.
thereby. Now then, he says here, he said, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. The Gentiles were far off. There were Jews that were far off. There could be somebody here tonight that's far off. But he says here that it says are made nigh. In other words, because of the blood, you and I have a chance, an opening, a way to be saved tonight. It's brought us in closer in. We're not way out there before, but we're brought closer in by the blood. Oh, tonight people just need to step up and step out and do what they need to do. The blood is waiting for them. It's right there. God is waiting. Christ is waiting. As they read this morning, I believe it was, or this afternoon, about the prodigal son, and Jesus took and, well, the father took and brought him back in. But it's just like a man coming back to the Lord. All right, let's go to Colossians 1 and 19. He said, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. In the body of his flesh, through death, presents you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which was under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now he said here, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth, things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We were enemies of Christ when we were unsaved. There's a lot of people out there that their minds are working overtime by wicked works. They're plotting things and doing things and considering things. They do it way into the night. They do it during the day and so forth. But the bottom line is the blood was still shed to purify, to cleanse, to work, and to do what needs to be done with anybody to bring them up and to bring them out and set them in a solid place where they can live for God, where they can be what the Lord would have them to be. Oh, tonight, he wants to bring you in tonight. He wants to bring you in where that you can have peace and joy by his blood. All right, let's finish up. 10th chapter of Hebrews, 16th verse. I believe I'll stop right here. 10th chapter of Hebrews and 16th verse. He said here, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord, that put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Now then, let us draw near. With a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. He said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Now, Brother Dan, what he brought out this afternoon was right. But there's another angle that he didn't really mention in the word grace. And that is in that scripture that I just quoted, it said help. Grace is help. Grace is helping you and I with power, with glory, by His blood, helping us to be able to have. And listen, folks, today, because of this, we can draw near with a full, with a heart full. No, I ain't quoting that right. He said here, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. In other words, because we're washed saints, we're redeemed, we're brought up, we're brought out, we're set into a good place with God, we can come with full assurance to the throne. This is a throne of grace, a throne of power, a throne of healing, a throne of glory. It's a throne of everything you and I need. It doesn't matter what we need tonight, children and saints. It's available for you and I. It's a throne that is there with Jesus sitting on the right hand of God. And this throne of grace is available anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You don't have to wait and wait, and it's a busy signal. You can have a call straight through. You can pray at any time, praise God. It may not take a long prayer. It may be a short prayer, and He may be working instantly for you and I. Sister Geneva Ray was in an accident many years ago. Some of you don't even know her. Might have heard of her, but didn't know her. She was in a wreck, I think, down around Memphis, Tennessee. As she was being hurled out of the car and was hitting the side post here of the windshield in the door, she cried out something like this, "Lord, have mercy on us." That's all she said that I remember, that I was told or heard. And she cried out. Well, they picked him up and they took him to the hospital, and they got a call out to the saints there. I believe the Myrtle camp meeting was going on, I believe, or Guthrie camp meeting. Some camp meeting was going on, I understood. Myrtle, I believe. And so consequently, they transferred her to A to B, and in between the transfer, the Lord healed that head. Healed everything that needed to be healed on that part. Now, her wrist was broke too. That didn't turn out so good. But she cried out. Didn't take a long prayer. Listen, folks, today we can draw near with a true heart, in full assurance. We have a true heart, we have a clean heart, we have a right heart, and we can come in full assurance of faith to this throne. If you have a mother and a father and you're a child, you have come to them many times down through the years when you were hurt, when you're wounded, when you were cut, whatever, and they would welcome you, they would take you up in their arms, they would bless you, they would kiss away the pain and so forth, and they would pray for you and help you and so forth. Listen, folks, our Father, which art in heaven, is saying you and I can come near tonight, come to the throne, and get the help that we need tonight. Whatever we need, what do you need tonight? The Lord wants to bless you. He wants to save, He wants to sanctify, He wants to heal, He wants to encourage, He wants to inspire. He wants to do all kind of things for His people tonight. We can come. We're a child of God. We belong to Him. It is our personal privilege that we can come to this throne. It belongs to us. And He's sitting there saying, "Come unto me, all you that labored heavy laden." He said, "I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest into your souls." Come. What do we need tonight? Let's stand, have a number. Appreciate the time and attention and your prayers tonight. Pray for me.